Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. God says, I sought for a man or a woman among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. So we use the phrase, stand in the gap, to illustrate this idea that the wall is broken. The city walls, the protection against evil, against the enemy, is broken. There's a hole in the wall, and the enemy is pouring in. And God says, I'm looking for a person. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 1, he gave men and women dominion over the earth. He said, have dominion, subdue it, rule and reign over it. You are the possessors of the earth. And God also said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Matthew 18, right? Whatever you loose or allow on earth is allowed from heaven. So we tend to blame others and push off responsibility and say, well, that's the government. That's the school. The school should make my child obedient. And someone, you know, should fix my wife and fix my husband. Right, we kind of have that. And it started in the Bible, right? When God goes to Adam, Adam said, the woman, it's her fault. He goes to the woman said, the devil, it's his fault. So that's a pattern of humanity. We push off responsibilities. We rage against other people and what they should change or what they should do, but we very seldom embrace it and own it. And even in church, you know, we want to give things to God, but I'm not sure he takes them. Like, Lord, this is your marriage. And the Lord's like, no, I didn't marry that dude. You sleep with that dude. You're going to have to pray for him. Right? And we dedicate our children. That's a good thing to do. Jesus blessed the children. But the idea that we give them to God, actually, God gave them to you. And you got to own it. And like Tiffany said, you pray for your kids, you fight for your kids, and you believe that God is working in their life, right? So we've got to embrace and own our place in this world. You have dominion over your world, and humanity collectively has dominion over the world. So do you stand for it? Do you stand in the gap? Make up a wall. I'm not letting the enemy in. The enemy's not coming in my house. The devil, evil teaching, evil spirits, not coming in my house. Sickness and disease, I stand against you. Poverty, lack, shortage, I stand against you. Depression, mental health struggles, fear, I stand against you. I bind it on earth. It is bound from heaven. And I loose blessing, favor, healing, prosperity, abundant life. I loose it and I receive it in the name of Jesus. Right? So that's what the Bible teaches. God says, I'm looking for a person who will fight, who will pray, who will stand, right? So that's why I know people are shocked sometimes they come to Christian Faith. You know, I come to Christian Faith Center, it's so loud. We're trying to wake you up. You can't be quiet and weak and be a church mouse. I know you grew up where there was the church mice. We just sweet and quiet. But that's not the Bible. That's not Jesus. And we're trying to be like Jesus, right? Jesus fought the fight of faith. Jesus stood against the devil. Jesus raged against religion. So that's the spirit that we want to have. The Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. You have to fight if you're going to be a successful Christian, because the devil will just roll over you. And if you're just cute and nice, he'll just roll over you. And so then, well, I'm sick and I'm poor and I'm weak and I'm depressed and I'm sad and, you know, my life is, okay. God's looking for a man who will stand. God's looking for a woman who will stand, who will make up the wall, who will stop the enemy and say, not in my house, not in my marriage, not in my kids. I'm not going to allow it, right? And when you take that kind of a stand, now God can help you. And some of us have the attitude, well, the Lord is going to do what the Lord is going to do. So whatever the Lord's will, I can't deal with it. It's up to the Lord. But that's not true. Because God said to Israel, Caleb quoted it a moment ago, I want to give you this land. But they didn't believe, and they didn't stand, and they didn't fight, and so they died in a wilderness. So now think of this. God has made promises to you, but you have an option to die without those promises in your life. You can go without the healing. You can go without the prosperity, without the peace, without the joy, without, you can just be a Christian. You're going to heaven. But you see none of the promise of God in your life. If you want the promised land, go take it. Stand up for it. Fight for the right to part. No, that's another thing. That was something else. You know what's really funny? All the young people are looking at me right now. They're like, what? I never heard that. What is that? It's only us who know. I know that you know. You know that I know. We know. The revival that we're talking about is the revival in our hearts, in our spirit, in our faith that flows out to our neighborhoods, our communities, our campuses, and affects our whole region. Dr. Cho always taught us that revival starts with prayer. And we can have that attitude again. Well, if God wants to do it, God will do it. Well, when are we going to fight for it? When are we going to believe for it? God says, here's your promised land. Okay, let's go take it. Let's go. And when Joshua led the people across, they took the land. And why didn't they do it 40 years earlier? Oh, they got scared. They got full of doubts. They had fears and worries. They kept talking about going back to Egypt, right? So they missed their opportunity. Let you and I take, believe, stand for, embrace every promise of God and fight for all that God has for us. We're not going to let our neighbors, we're not going to let our family members, we're not going to let our schools just go to the devil. Our revival is a revival of God working in us, and it flows out to the lives of people around us. Now, think of this. To be like Jesus, we have to pray for other people. Pray for the lost. Pray for the weak, pray for the hurting. He lifted up the prostitute. He didn't condemn her. He didn't put her on Facebook and say, look at this crazy woman. He lifted up the poor. He didn't get mad at them and blame them or accuse them. He lifted them up. So if you want to be like Christ, you have to become an intercessor. You have to become one who will stand in the gap, one who will pray for others, right? And we call ourselves Christians to be Christ-like. We've got to do more than just pray for our little circle, right? So in our little circle is your spouse, your children, and maybe a few other people. That's your little circle. Do you pray for anybody else? Or do you just kind of rage about other people? You know, that's a common thing in our culture, isn't it? We rage at people that we don't like. Where somebody on the airplane and they do something we don't like, we're posting about it. I'm sitting next to this crazy person. Why did I get this seat next to crazy? Maybe God put you there. Maybe God's asking you to pray for that person. Maybe that person is really open to the Lord. They just need someone to talk to them, but you're not talking to them. You're on Facebook raging. Christian person. I don't know why God doesn't move in my life, because you don't pray. You rage. You're just angry and frustrated and upset, right? And when we see something in our city, we tend to just get mad and blame and accuse and condemn. Did we ever pray? And you know, and sometimes it's hard not to rage. Okay, so I'll make you a deal. You can rage as long as you pray. How long are you going to pray? You pray for 5 minutes? Okay, you got 5 minutes to go on Twitter and tell everybody how you think. Just remember, you keep giving them a piece of your mind, you don't have much left. You're giving it all away. But here's the thing, if we're not praying for them, and we call ourselves Christians, right? Look here in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is an intercessor. He always lives. He continues to live with the purpose of making intercession for us, right? And then remember, maybe his most famous prayer, I'm sure if I said, what's the most famous prayer, you would say, well, the Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father who art in heaven. But this might be more famous than that. It's in Luke 23, and starting at verse 32, two other criminals were led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, they crucified him. And the criminals on one hand and on the other hand. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. Maybe his most powerful prayer, intercessory prayer, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. So if we're going to be like Jesus, let's just pray for people. Let's make it our agreement, our commitment. When I see the homeless guy, I'm just going to pray for him. Lord, help him. Lord, get him to some place that he can learn. Lord, deliver him from the demons that are driving his life. Protect him from the anxieties that are driving his life. It would take a moment. Right, because a lot of times we say, well, I don't have time for all that. I don't have time to pray. You know, I would pray, but I don't have time. Okay, wait. Let's time it. I got a clock right here, a countdown timer. We're going to time Jesus' prayer. Ready, set, go. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. 4 seconds. Could you come up with 4 seconds tomorrow? Right? See what I'm saying? You can find 4 seconds. And it's the most famous prayer Jesus ever prayed. Okay, so when you pull up to the thing and the lady standing there with the sign that she picked up from the last guy that was there, that I have 7 children and a dog and anything will help. Lord, help them. Provide and lead them to healing. I'm not going to finance their addiction. I'm not just going to give them something that they'll go buy drugs or whatever. But I pray they are delivered. I pray that they are healed. Okay, that took a few seconds, right? It's not about time. It's about own it, stand for it, fight for it, believe for it. And if you want to talk about the community, the mayor or the city or whoever that's not doing what they should do, pray for them. Pray for them. Let's not rage against people. Let's pray for people, right? So, you know the funny thing about every time you go off on somebody, there's a camera now. There's a camera. Somebody has their camera rolled. They're watching. So the lady gets upset at the baseball game because somebody took the ball that she thought was her ball, but it was just a hit home run ball, and it goes in the stands and it bounces around, and whoever grabs it, grabs it. Well, she wanted the ball, and the guy took the ball and gave it to his son, and the lady's raging. You saw this online, right? The lady's raging. Well, the camera's on the lady. I don't know what her name is, but now it's Karen. I'm sorry if you're Karen, but she, no. According to Twitter, she's Karen. And you know, the funny part was, because of the camera, and it was posted online immediately, because everybody's around have their camera, and so it's posted online. So before the end of the baseball game, the team made a bag full of balls and hats and jerseys and stuff and took it to the kid. Because the girl, the lady is raging. She didn't get a bag. She's just raging because she didn't get the ball. And the kid now, he's got a bag full of stuff. And then the story continues. Then somebody at the game saw the lady raging at the father and the son over a baseball. And they gave him an SUV or an RV or some kind of vehicle. And this guy's like, the greatest thing that ever happened to him was a demon-possessed woman. But this happens all, you know, obviously we don't always see it online, but it's like at the airport, there's somebody angry because, you know, they don't like something. And you're thinking right now, if you rage at a flight attendant, my daughter-in-law is a flight attendant. If you rage at a flight attendant, you're going off the airplane. Why would you do that? Right? Because this is our culture. We don't think, how do I stand for them? How do I help? How do I make it better? We just rage. We just go off, tell them what we think and what we feel, and it's not fair, and I'm going to call my attorney. And you made my coffee so hot, I'm gonna sue you. Really, bro? Somebody should slap you for being a punk because you can't handle hot coffee, right? I mean, this is our culture. Just this blame and what do I get and it's not fair and all of that. No, God says, I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for a woman, a man of God, a woman of God who's not pointing fingers and blaming and raging against little kids and losing their mind. I'm looking for someone who will stand, who will intercede, who will make up the wall, who will stand in the gap and fight for the right to be blessed and to be whole and to be healed and to prosper. Let's fight for that. If you want to rage against somebody, rage against the devil. You know, Wendy and I have a few ladies and people here in our church that are so amazing. One of them, I was talking to them this morning, their birthday today, 84 years old. And they pray for us every day. And they pray for our children, for our grandchildren. They pray for you. They pray for our church, for our praise team. They're just interceding. They're just praying. And then they get words from God. And one of the ladies, she's in her 80s, she calls Wendy. I got a word. Make sure you write it down. God's going to be moving. And sure enough, comes to pass. Comes to pass. So intercessors, you can make a difference. Be like Jesus. He ever lives to make intercession for us. And does it take hours? I mean, if you can pray for hours, great. But if it's just, Lord, Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Okay, 4 seconds, 5 seconds. That's it. Just make sure that you stand for something rather than just raging at evil. Okay, go to Genesis 18. God gives us authority on this earth. God gives us authority. He's looking for a man, for a woman, right? And I'm just a kid from Spanaway, and I get saved up at our North Mill Creek campus 50 years ago. And I felt like God wanted us to have a church. It was maybe a little different, a little bolder, a little louder. And I just went for it. I'm not highly educated. I mean, I have some education, but it's not that I'm very smart. It's not that I'm a great communicator. Half the time, I don't even know what I'm doing. But I will fight. Right? The spiritual battle, the faith battle. God's looking for somebody who will stand in the gap. And I love what Caleb said. He said, I'm not just moving mountains, I'm taking mountains. Right? You see my thing here? I'm taking mountains, not just moving mountains. We got some moving mountain t-shirts. I think there's a few left out there. You better grab one before they're all gone. I think there's also sweatshirts and other things. But where was I? So God comes to Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. And this is an amazing story. Genesis 18, three men show up. The Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. All right, he lifted his eyes and three men were standing by him. Notice he said one was the Lord. And sometimes in the Bible, he's referred to as the angel of the Lord, but he's actually the Lord. In a theological sense, we would call it a theophany or a pre-incarnate manifestation of Christ. Before the incarnation, pre-incarnate manifestation of Christ. So Jesus is here. Jesus is talking to Abraham and he has two angels with him. And when he saw him, Abraham ran from the tent door to meet him, bowed himself to the ground. Another way we know it was the Lord. He worshiped him and the man didn't stop him. If it had been an angel, they'd have been like, no, don't worship me. I'm just one of the servants, right? But he worshiped him. He got a calf. He sacrificed to him. He offered to him and the Lord received it and accepted it. Right? So here the Lord is with Abraham at his tent and Abraham's worshiping him. Now, go down to verse 9. The Lord says, where's your wife? Okay, wives, you're important. You're part of the story here. Are you out there, wives? No. Stand in the gap. Rage against the devil. Are you out there? Crickets, I hear crickets. Where is Sarah, your wife? He said, here in the tent. He said, I'll certainly return according to the time of life, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now, Sarah is about 90 right now, and Abraham is about 100, right? He was 75 when the Lord first called him to leave his father and his father's house. So 25 years have passed and God's been working in Abraham's life and Sarah's there with him. And she's listening behind the door of the tent. Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. I guess if you're 90, it's a bit late to start a family. Right, what do we call that? A geriatric pregnancy? Yeah, very geriatric pregnancy. Verse 12, Sarah laughed within herself. And she said, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Okay, you gotta get the picture. Sarah and Abraham, 90 and a half, right? Like, people look at me and they're like, wow, how old are you? I'm like, oh, I'm only 70. She's 90. He's 100. And the Lord says, you're going to have a baby. And Sarah did probably what most moms here would do. She just laughed. She's like, that ain't going to happen. I'm old and my husband's old. Now think about it. How would you respond to the Lord? She said, I have grown old. Shall I have pleasure? So she's even thinking about, can you imagine the 90-year-old and the 100-year-old having sex? This is not pleasure. This is funny. She's just laughing. She's like, wow, I can't even imagine that. So I have to be careful how I say this, but she said, I can't have a baby, and Abraham is not up for it either. You know what I'm saying? He's just not up for that. I'm old, he's old, it ain't gonna happen. He's not up for that. So the Lord said, why did Sarah laugh? Okay, Jesus is at your house. He said, prophesy, blessing, miracle's going to happen. I'm bringing something special into your life. And the wife laughs. And the Lord says, why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return and Sarah will have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I didn't laugh. I mean, this is the kid with cookie crumbs all over his face. And you say, where's all the cookies? And he said, I don't know. Right? I mean, you're denying it? At 90, you should know better, right? But she denied it, for she was afraid. And the Lord said, you did laugh. Of course, they named the son Isaac. What does that mean? Laughter. So she never forgot that story. I'm reading this part because I want you to see God uses imperfect people. People who laugh at the promise of God. People who at one point in their life said, that will never happen. People who think it's impossible. God still uses them. Start standing, start believing, start expecting that God's gonna come into your tent and God's gonna bring some miraculous results. You praying for that husband? Start believing. God's bringing me a great husband. Now, don't just go claim a certain person because that doesn't work very well, right? I'm claiming him. Yeah, well, he's already married. Don't claim him, right? But believe that God's bringing you a great husband. And if you already have one, don't claim that you're getting rid of him. Claim that he's growing. He's making changes. He's becoming a great man of God, right? So let's stand and let's believe because God looks for a person who will stand in the gap, okay? Now, let's back to Genesis 18. So then in verse 16, the men arose from there, looked towards Sodom. Abraham went with them to send them on their way. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. So should I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? Because Abraham will guide his family in the way of the Lord. Are you doing that? Are you guiding your children in the way of the Lord? Well, I send them to school. No, you stand in the gap. You stand for your child. You guide them in the way of the Lord. You show them how to make wise decisions. You teach them what's good and what's not, what's godly and what's not. And then he goes on to talk about Sodom. The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great. I will go down and see whether they have done according to what I've heard. And so they're on their way to judge Sodom. And for sake of time, let me just conclude. He asks the angel, should we hide from Abraham what we're going to do? They're going to bring judgment on Sodom. And so they tell Abraham, we're going to Sodom. Now, Abraham had family there. So he begins to intercede for him. He says, Lord, would you kill the righteous with the unrighteous? And then Abraham said, if there's 50 righteous there, would you still destroy the city? And the Lord said, no. And Abraham thought about it. And he goes, I don't think there's 50 righteous. What if there's 40? And the Lord said, I'll spare the city for 40. Abraham said, what about 20? He just kept negotiating with God. And it's a strange exchange, almost like an auction. Who'll give me 30? Who'll give me 20? Can you give me 10? He's going down instead of up because he's trying to save his family. Remember, his nephew Lot had moved there with his wife, and they had daughters, and the city was corrupt, but he had family there. So he's standing in front of the Lord and praying for Sodom and Gomorrah. Like you and I would be like, yeah, cook them, Lord, barbecue that place. That is a wicked city. Right? Maybe we give up on people. Maybe we don't realize God is waiting for us to stand in the gap for hurting people, for lost people, for people who don't deserve it. Did you deserve salvation? Do you deserve healing? So if you say, well, they don't deserve it, look at us. We don't deserve it. Right? I was saved in a rehab center. How can I be judgmental of the guy on crack or the guy on whatever it is? I don't even know the names of the drugs anymore. I try to be cool like I'm a drug dealer, and they'll be like, bro, you look like a preacher. But can I condemn them knowing what God did for me? So Abraham's just, he's just standing, and he gets down to 10. He says, Lord, would you destroy the city if there were 10? The Lord says, nope, I'll spare the city if there's 10 righteous. Well, God goes over there. There wasn't 10. It was Lot, his wife, and she was a bit shaky. Remember, she looked back. And Caleb said, your past doesn't write your story, so stop looking back. And then they had their daughters. But even then, God got him out before the judgment came. Why? Because Abraham prayed. Abraham stood. Abraham made up the gap. Father, we pray for our families. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for our coworkers. We pray for our communities. We stand in the gap for our state and our region. And we say, give us this land and give us these people and bring salvation to the Northwest in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.